The assigned reading for this Tuesday is from Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my son, accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I always like to begin a sermon with a question, and the question I have for this sermon is, who here would agree that an agnostic goes to heaven? Anybody agree with that? No. What is an agnostic? An agnostic is defined as one who believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God, or if anything is beyond material phenomena. A person claims neither faith nor disbelief with God. I've often said that the purpose of a good sermon and a good Bible study is to get your head to catch up with your heart. I use the word heart in the positive sense from David's song, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Your heart has got perfect faith. But by the time that faith gets up to your head, it's all messed up. And that's the purpose of a sermon, is to get your head to catch up with your perfect heart of faith. Now, therefore, in reading this psalm, I wasn't really sure what I was going to preach on, but many of you know I drive for Lyft and Uber. In fact, yesterday I got an email from Lyft. It was my 1-year anniversary. Had picked up 358 different passengers during the year. I would say with about 20% of them, I get to talk about Christianity, because some just listen to the radio, others talk in the back seat. But some, well, is this your full-time job? No, I'm a pastor, etc. Well, last Saturday I picked up a woman, and we began talking. I found out she had attended a Roman Catholic parochial school. And I told her I was a pastor, and she asked, "Oh, what denomination?" I said, "Lutheran." And then I asked her, "Would you describe your religious viewpoint? Where do you belong?" And she said, "I'm an agnostic." And I immediately replied, "No, you're not." And she said to me, "We've never met before. How do you know I'm not an agnostic?" I said, "Well, let me ask you two questions." Remember, I knew she had gone through Roman Catholic parochial school. I said, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross?" "Oh, yeah, I believe that." "Do you believe that he died to forgive sins?" "Yes, I believe that." I said, "You're not an agnostic, you're a Christian." She says, "Yeah, but I'm not sure there aren't any other gods, and I have problems with parts of the Bible." So I said, "Well, give me an example of something from the Bible you don't agree with." She said, "Well, I can't think of anything right now." Well, we continued talking for about 10 minutes till we reached her destination. I carry around business cards, KFUO, my name. Radio program, gave her one of them. And as she got out of the back seat of the van, which I drive for Uber, She says, I'm going to have to think about what you said. Came around to my side window, which was closed, and put her hand up there. Gave me a five. And I gave her a five. And I got to thinking about that. Because from my experience, I've learned it's really hard to judge someone no matter who they are. When I lived in University City for 28 years in the parsonage, the people across the street from us were Mormons. And they had a baby, so my wife took over a crib that we didn't need anymore and some other stuff. And every time we went and talked with them, you know, we would explain, I'm a Lutheran pastor, and I would share with them what we believe. I can't remember one time they didn't say, well, that's what we believe. And I'm saying under my threat, no, you don't. You're Mormon. But see, they had not graduated to the temple level. They were still way down there. So they were just reading their Bible. And all Bibles are Lutheran. So they were believing what we believed. I believe they're going to heaven. At that point, anyway, even though they said they were Mormon. So on my program, I've mentioned this a number of times. I can't remember doing it in the chapel, but I'll just share with you a point of view I have in regard to helping understand. One of the most important questions we get is, judge not lest you yourselves be judged. But the problem is, you have to make judgments in order to excommunicate someone. We never excommunicate anyone for sin. We always excommunicate for unrepentance of that sin. And so I was trying to develop a way where we could understand the Bible verses that say judge not, and yet other verses that make it very clear you're supposed to judge whether a person's a sinner or not. And here's the analogy I like using. It's a courtroom. What does a jury do? A jury decides guilt or innocence. What does a judge do? He proclaims the sentence. As Christians, we're allowed to be juries. We are never allowed to be a judge. So when I was in the Uber driving that lady, and she said, I'm an agnostic, could I have turned around and said, oh, you're going to hell? No. I'm not a judge. And the more I had a conversation with her, her Roman Catholic background was still there. She believed that Jesus died for the forgiveness of sins. Now, did she have that kind of sufficient faith that God says you're on your way to heaven? I don't know. That's between her and God. God makes those decisions. I don't. I've just discovered a great way of doing witnessing is by asking questions. For example, there's a lot of people who are worried about the growth of nuns. And I don't mean N-U-N-S, I mean N-O-N-E-S. People who've left the church, and when you ask them, what denomination do you belong to? None. I carry a lot of those in Uber and Lyft, nuns. And after talking to them, and I listened to the church they left, I almost every time say, yeah, I would have left that church too. I haven't met one nun in the cab yet who doesn't believe that they were taught how you behave here on earth makes a difference whether you go to heaven or hell. I'd leave those churches too. Churches that say, oh, you better not dance, you better not drink, you better not gamble, etc., etc. It's kind of like the ceremonial laws that the Pharisees did. They did 600 plus new rules for the Sabbath because they thought when you break the commandments, you're not saved. So they were trying to protect people from breaking the commandments. That's why they crucified Jesus. Sermon on the Mount. When he was done with that, there was nobody who could follow the Sermon on the Mount. I don't understand why people like the Sermon on the Mount. It's almost pure law. Oh, you don't think you've murdered somebody? Ever had a bad thought? You're going to hell. Ever said a bad word? You're going to hell. So witnessing is really, really difficult. But after 1 year on Lyft and about 8 months with Uber, and I'm driving these people around, many of the nuns that I talk to, I believe they still have faith. They don't like the church they were in, because the churches they were in do not proclaim law and gospel to a point where they're freed. I said to one of the ladies in the back when I was taking her to her destination, I said, yeah, we're Lutheran. Well, how are you different than Roman Catholics? I said, well, one of the differences is we don't think your works count a bit as to whether you go to heaven or hell. She had never heard that before. She said, you Lutherans make it too easy. And I replied to her, ask Jesus how easy it was. We have the greatest message the world has ever heard. When I did Law and Gospel earlier, I put a billboard up at the airport. Law and Gospel, KFUO, Tom Baker, 9:30. And it was one of those where it changes every 15 seconds to something else. Was costing me $300 a month to do that. But you can't believe how many people started remarking to me about they began listening to KFUO because of that. I don't think there's a billboard anywhere in the city with KFUO. You want to hear about KFUO or the Lutheran Church? You got to turn on KFUO. I had a man in the car, and he was a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod from Peoria. And I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. And do you know me? I'm Tom Baker. I've been on the radio. He says, no, we have a radio station? I said, well, I've only been on there 22 years, so maybe you haven't heard of me. We have the greatest message. And there are people out there who have no understanding. As I said earlier, I did not meet one nun, N-O-N-E, who didn't believe that they're saved by their works. And I would be leaving their churches also. You see, when a church has false doctrine, it just doesn't have one false doctrine. There's one upon the other. For example, many Southern Baptists don't believe in the baptism of a baby. Now they have to figure out a reason why they don't. So they make up a teaching that you're saved by decision theology. And babies can't decide. So therefore they have an age of accountability. I had a Baptist couple in the back seat. You don't want to get in my back seat if we're talking religion. And you're not Lutheran. I said, did you have your baby baptized? No, it's only 8 years old. We're going to wait till 12. And I said, oh, you believe in the age of accountability? Yes. So you never punish your child at any time they do disobedience? Oh, yeah. We punish them. I said, so you're telling me that you believe God will not punish them till they're 12 and you're punishing them at 8? When you have false doctrine, you are never consistent with God's word. And it's our task to point it out to people like that. You saw recently in the Post-Dispatch, one of the Uber drivers got in trouble because he was tape recording everybody and putting it up on the internet. I really considered having a tape recorder because in Missouri, you only have to have one person okay it, and I'd be the one okaying it. Then I would play it on KFUO, but I never went that far. Because people tell you things they won't tell their husband or their best friends when you're in a taxi cab. So there's got to be that kind of a privacy. I must have given out at least, out of the 350 people just for Lyft that I picked up over the past year, given out at least 100 of the cards for KFUO. Have no idea, except for two of them who started coming to the church I was at, if it had any impact at all. But see, it's not up to me to make an impact. It's only up to me to share the word. And so when you look at this tremendous passage from Proverbs that I was given as my assignment today, and it says these words, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart. That woman who said she was a Gnostic had it within her heart. And all I had to do was bring it out by asking the questions. And that's going to get her thinking. Whether or not she's saved or not, I'm not a judge, I'm a jury. That's up to God to make that decision. But if you start looking for opportunities to share the message, I would ask you to think seriously about asking questions. Because I have found that Jesus asks lots of questions. And that's the way he witnessed. Who do men say that I am? Finally, Peter gave the right answer. You know, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Oh, by the way, Peter, you didn't think of that yourself. That was from my Father. Oh, I know, Lord. And by the way, I'll protect you when you go to Jerusalem to get crucified. Get thee behind me, Satan. So our task is not just to share the Bible. You can know the Bible by memory and you'll still go to hell. They were called scribes and Pharisees at the time of Jesus. And then Jesus came as the Word, and they searched the Scriptures to see if they found salvation, and they found it in their obedience to the ceremonial laws, not in their faith in Jesus. So teaching the Bible in and of itself doesn't bring salvation. But teaching the understanding of the various verses. In fact, if you were listening to the Bible study today between 8 and 9, they're starting a new thing. They're not going to go through the regular readings each day. They're going to take a book of the Bible or a verse in the Bible and study it for 4 days. That's how you do theology. That's how you explain the meaning. Like Jesus did to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, who knew he had died, knew he had been raised. The women told him, and they were still shaking with fear. Because they didn't understand the necessity of why he had to die. And that's what Jesus did. Genesis through Malachi, all the Bible verses, this is why he had to die. And their hearts leaped within them before they recognized him as the Savior. You, every one of you, can do that with your family, your friends, your relatives. We've got tremendous resources through Concordia Publishing House. You can use them. And just start getting people to listen to KFUO. Because that's where Lutheranism is best advertised. So you at times may think, boy, I'm not worthy enough to be saved. Because you look at your works. None of you are worthy enough to be saved. That's why the gospel says that God declares you worthy because of what Jesus did, not what you have done. That's a message 90% of the people out here have never heard of. And that's why we are thankful to be part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and sharing a message that does change hearts. Amen.